Well, we've been sharing some messages on life in the Spirit, or we could say walking in the Spirit. And last week we were, or not last week, but the last time I was with you, and I apologize, I had, you know, just in the busyness of things, I was sharing the last time I was with you on the 16th, oh, I'll see you on the stream. Well, it wasn't me, because we had our annual board of directors meeting, and I couldn't be there. So I had completely forgot about that, and so I was like, whoops, I can't be there. So here we are. And thank God for Minister Mary Lou for filling in, and praise God. God is raising up people in this camp that can teach and minister, and when we're not able, we thank God. So when we talk about life in the Spirit, you know, we were sharing the last time that your walk in the Spirit, your living in the Spirit, or life in the Spirit began when your spirit was changed. And we need to remind ourselves that we're not walking by what we see or feel, but by what? By faith. You know, what's exciting to me is that how many would agree that Abraham, if he's called the father of faith, right, then that means he's our example. I know Jesus is our example, but he's the father of faith. And so here, isn't it interesting that when we talk about walking in the Spirit, or walking in the Spirit, or life in the Spirit, how many would believe that Abraham walked in the Spirit? Absolutely. Well, you know, he's a perfect example in this regard. When we say, well, you know, I don't feel like I'm walking in the Spirit, I don't feel that way. Well, what have we got done reading before when it said, let me read it again, in verse 18 and 19 of Romans chapter 4. I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation. So I'll give them a moment. But it said in verse 18 of chapter 4, it says, against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise. They put that up. And expected God to fulfill it. He took God at his word, and as a result, he became the father of many nations. God's declaration over him came to pass. Your descendants will be so many that they will be impossible to count. Then verse 19, it says, in spite of being nearly 100 years old when the promise of having a son was made. Do you think he felt a certain way? Yeah, feeling-wise, I'm sure. Said Sarah laughed. But this went on and said, when the promise of having a son was made, his faith was so strong that it could not be undermined, see, couldn't be undermined by the fact that he and Sarah were incapable of conceiving a child. The fact was, they were incapable. But we're to walk by what? Faith. If you're going to walk in the Spirit, you have to walk in faith. What does that mean? When facts are contrary, then you need to say, no, no, this is coming to pass. That's exactly what Abraham did. He said, against all odds, when it looked hopeless. See? Walking in the Spirit, see, the Word and the Spirit agree. So the Spirit of God is not going to give you thoughts of fear. He may reveal something to you, but it's not fear thoughts like, oh, you're going to die. That's a fear thought. But he may reveal to you, the Holy Ghost, he may reveal to you, you need to get yourself checked, otherwise this may happen to you. That's not a fear thought. See, sometimes people say, get thee behind thee, and miss God. See, I walk down this path, so I know what from whence I'm talking about. You've heard me share, I was in the shower, this is over 20 years ago. I had been in extreme pain for a year. Standing on the Word of God, not moved by the pain. I wasn't. I still sang. I never missed a beat, but I was in pain. And I was in the shower in the Holy Ghost when my mind was just enjoying the shower. And I was standing there quiet, and I heard down here, if you don't go and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. That wasn't a fear thought. It was a revealing to me to do something. So all I'm saying is that when we walk in the Spirit, we need to have communion with the Holy Ghost, communion with Jesus, and know his voice. And know the difference between going and getting a checkup because the Holy Ghost is telling you to, and the devil telling you, you're going to die if you don't, because you got pain, it's this thing going on in your body. That's fear. Now, the Holy Ghost could reveal something, but you need to know the difference between fear and the eyes of your what? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened to something. See, and I've learned through the years that the soul, see, when the scripture talks about, if you look up, run the word imagination in the scripture. Just run imagination. And God has given us an imagination. But in Scripture, it says God's not pleased with evil imaginations. And it says evil thoughts come from where? Scripture says from the heart. So where could good thoughts come from? Where could thoughts from heaven come from? The heart. So when a thought comes, it comes from the heart because the Holy Ghost lives in you. So when a thought comes into your mind, you need to determine, did it come from my heart, and was this something that the Holy Ghost revealed to me? Was it a good thought? Because if evil thoughts come from the heart, so do good thoughts. Or you could say imaginations. And God has given us that. Sometimes people get all off base when they talk about, you know, imagination. God has given us an imagination to use. And so that imagination or soulish area of our spirit Because it says the word of God separates between soul and spirit. So, anyways, I just share that, that when it comes to knowing and walking in the Spirit, we need to determine whether those thoughts coming from the heart, or where did they originate from? Where did they come from? And the more you walk with Him, the more you think about Him. See, we can be busy. You know, I'm as busy as you are, probably busier. And even in all the busyness, you are aware of Him. Because when those thoughts come up in your heart, from your heart, in your mind, it's something you become what? You become, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do with that? Sometimes walking in the Spirit becomes more conscious of Him in us and yielding to Him. Yielding to Him. The more you yield, the more He will speak to you. The more you become conscious of Him, you say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do with that? I liked what Ann Durant shared a couple of years ago. We were at the prayer conference over in Connecticut. And she shared this. She said, Kevin and I have this pact or deal that whatever God tells us to do, we yield to it and we trust each other. But she said something that made a lot of sense. She said, when the Holy Spirit reveals something or I have an unction to do something, I don't just move on it. I wait for the opportunity. Because she said, a lot of times we get something from the Lord and we chase off to do something. And it's the wrong timing. How many in here are married? Have you ever said something and the timing wasn't right, but you knew you needed to say something? Everybody's laughing. So I'm using that example because you knew you wanted to say something. Most times it's the women want, I gotta say something. I'm not picking on the women, but that's just, men usually are just like, okay, whatever, you know, and I didn't know it was a big deal. And the wife is like itching, we got to talk. Am I saying the truth? Right? But there's the right time to say it. Because when it's not the right time, this is what Reverend Annie said. She said, when it's the right time, everybody's heart is open to receive. And that word or that instruction actually gets planted properly, not rejected. Like, here you go again. Right? So when the Holy Ghost reveals something to us, either personally or to do something, it's not that He didn't say something to you, but then there's an opportune time to do it, to say it. Because then if it involves somebody else, there's a right time. Then everybody's heart is open and it's like water flowing. It's like, oh yeah, okay. Right, I see that, thank you. But it can also be not the right time. Does everybody understand that? So walking in the Spirit, we've got to be, what I was going to touch on today is, we need to be in agreement. We need to walk in agreement. And so let's look at that for a moment. And I'm just going to jump down there and just let's focus on that for a moment. I want to look actually first at John chapter John chapter 15. I'm going to read this from the King James, John chapter 15, verse 1 through 8. I'll wait till you get there. John chapter 15 in the King James. This is Jesus speaking. It said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, or abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask. That word ask means to require or to demand. See. You shall ask or demand what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Let me just take a look and see. I want to just see. I'm just looking at this. Yeah. Let's look at this in the Passion Translation. They'll put this up. I'm going to look at verses 4 through 7. Or 4 through 8. And this will be in the Passion Translation. It says, so you must remain. See, when we talk about abiding, that word abide means to remain, but I like this, it adds to it, like the Amplified. It says, so you must remain in life union with me. For I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. Your life will be fruitless. That means if you're not bearing fruit, fruitless, let's all run back. How many can think of something that Jesus got and cursed because it was fruitless when it should have been? He cursed the fig tree. So when something's not bearing fruit, it's not maintaining. This is what this says here. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. So what does that mean? That means that living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, means that we will maintain a life that is joined to His and staying joined to His, right? Or you could say, I'm His disciple, I'm in agreement with Him, because the scripture says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? So I can't walk with Him if we're not in agreement. I've got to be in agreement with His thoughts, His words, His ways, right? You know what it says I believe it's in Luke, when it talks about the seeds, the sower who sows the seed, it said the sower sowed seed on the stony ground and it was trampled underfoot. If you look up that Greek word trampled, it means to disdain or reject. What does that mean? You're not in agreement with it. So we have to be walking in the Spirit is, and living in the Spirit, life in the Spirit is staying in life union with Him so that we can do what? Bear fruit or bear faith fruit. Right? That's what pleases God. And then it goes on, I am the sprouting vine and you're my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. Isn't that good? Fruitfulness will stream from within you, but when you live separated from me, you're powerless. If a person is separated from me, he is discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. But if you live in union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire and it will be done. Now, what do we mean? This is not by feeling. You know, Brother Hagin said this one time. Some lady said, I just don't feel saved. And Brother Hagin said, neither do I when I wake up in the morning. I don't feel saved. So he said, just stand there and watch me. And he began to just praise the Lord, glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the Holy Ghost who lives in me. And he began to stir up the gift of God within him. And then finally he said to her, well, what'd you see happen? She said, well, as you began to praise the Lord, your face lit up. Yes. We don't feel saved. You believe that you're saved. You believe that you're empowered by God. You believe the Holy Ghost lives in you. You believe the greater one is in you, and God empowers you. But we're not moved by feelings. So, as we walk in agreement, it's not about what we see, it's about what we believe. What has God said? Right? And we have to be in agreement with that. And that's exactly what John is saying, is we stay in life union with Him, we'll be fruitful. We'll bear fruit. We will walk in the Spirit. So, Matthew 18, you know, what got me to thinking about agreement. You know, we're familiar, Matthew 18, 18 through 20. I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. And they'll put this up. It says, I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. So a lot of times people are saying, how come God's permitting this? Because you are. People say, God's permitting this to happen in my life. The devil's running crazy. He's permitting it. God, do something. He's saying, I've given you my name. You take care of it. And then it goes on. I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among you. Or I am there among them. You know, I always make sure I stop. Sometimes people say, well, we agreed and it didn't come to pass. Well, then you're calling Jesus a liar. Because if you two or three gathered and agreed and didn't change, it must come to pass. Somewhere, someone was either not in agreement originally, or they got out of agreement. And a lot of times, you could even agree with someone who, you know, maybe someone comes to you who's going through a challenge. Maybe it could be financial, maybe it could be health or something, and you agree with them. And then something doesn't come to pass. That doesn't make God's word untrue. Let God be true. And every man a what? A liar. I'm not calling you a liar, but the scripture is. And so what that means is we can't change or override someone's will. If someone wills to change the agreement, then it doesn't come to pass. Does everybody understand that? But God's word, if we're in agreement with it, it will come to pass. It must. So walking in the Spirit is being in agreement. You know, I was looking at something in the word, just looking up the word agreement, and it's interesting. When you look up this word, I'm just going to pull it back up again here. And I use this app called eSword, and you can get that. I think it's a minimal amount. But just looking up the word agreement in the dictionary points back to the word covenant. We have a covenant-keeping God. We have a covenant with God. And let me just read this because I think it's interesting. It says, of a covenant between God and man, for example, God covenanted with Noah after the flood that a like judgment should not be repeated. It is not precisely like a covenant between man, but a promise or agreement by God. It was like a covenant. He said, I will not do this ever again. It was an agreement on God's part with man. It was a covenant. And it goes on. This was just I'll just read this. The principal covenants are the covenants of works, God promising to save and bless man on condition of perfect obedience. Well, we know that's not possible with the old covenant. But it was a covenant of promise, covenant of works. And the covenant of grace, or God's promise to save men on condition of their believing in Christ and receiving him as their master and savior. So there was a covenant of works and a covenant of grace, an agreement. And we have to be in agreement with it. But we don't benefit from the grace, do we? You are saved by grace through faith. Well, if you don't believe that, you will not benefit from the covenant between God and man. You have to believe in Jesus Christ for yourself, and then grace is extended to you. So we cannot, walking in the Spirit, walking in this life in the Spirit, we have to do what? Agree with these covenants that God has made with us. A promise to us. Just like he promised Abraham, and Abraham what? He didn't flinch. He said, even though the facts say such and such, I believe you. He made a promise to Abraham, and he had to do what? Agree with it. And it's the same with us. God has given us a covenant through Christ. And Christ bore our sins and sicknesses, and God has promised us with the shed blood of Jesus and through his stripes that we're healed, that we're delivered, that we're saved. This is a covenant promise that cannot be broken. So don't dare waver or question the promise. Don't question the agreement, because then you're calling God a liar. Just because you're walking by feelings. No. We walk by faith. Faith in the covenant. Faith in the promise to us that I'm redeemed, that I'm healed, I'm blessed, and he, God, has promised me. He who cannot lie. And he's without shadow of variableness, James 1:17. He doesn't change. And we shouldn't either. We need to agree with his word. Agree with the covenant. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This, I notice, is foundational. But sometimes we get way off over here looking at stuff, questioning stuff. We got to go back and look at the promise, the covenant between God and man. And he promised, and he will not fail. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Never. So don't let your circumstances talk loud. You talk loud. Because he said, we believed, and therefore we speak. And God is looking for a people to speak to mountains, to speak to obstacles, because the obstacles are meant to discourage. The obstacles are meant to put up roadblocks. Well, faith, what does it say? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, this obstacle, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe the words that you spoke, it'll come to pass. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, I hope this stir your heart a little bit. Go back and keep listening. Keep feeding. Get, you know, if these sell out, get these books. Keep feeding. Keep feeding. Keep watering. Glory to God. Nothing is impossible to those who believe. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you that it stirs our heart. Thank you that it's growing big in us. And we thank you that we are giant killers, mountain movers, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Well, before we unhook today and we don't ever conclude a service without giving everyone an opportunity. And most of us, we know Jesus as our Master, our Savior, our Lord, but perchance someone is here and this just was stirred your heart. If you maybe believe that Jesus is the Savior, he was the Redeemer. Historically, that's, everybody has read it. But do you believe it? Have you asked him into your heart? That's the answer. Because the scripture says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What does that mean? With the mouth, I'm confessing Jesus as my Lord. I'm in agreement with what he did for me. I believe he took my sins. I believe he took my sicknesses. And I believe he took them to hell. And when it was paid for, I believe that he was raised from the dead. If you believe that and you ask him to come into your heart, now it's beyond just something I believe that, but you said it with your mouth. That's the difference. So let's say this, Father God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he is the mediator. He's the go-between you and mankind. And I thank you that Jesus came to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And I believe that he came here to save mankind. I believe he took my sins and my sicknesses, and I believe he took them to hell. And when it was paid for, you raised him from the dead. And now I accept Jesus as my Savior, as my personal Lord. And I believe that I am saved and redeemed. So if you're here today or you're watching online, if you made that profession of faith, just let us know today. Lift your hand and let us know. We'll pray with you and rejoice with you. And if you're online watching, just follow the information and get in touch with us. And we'll send you some free information and get in touch with you. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen.